This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We're going to have just a really laid-back, good time today. And I want to let you know that the first half of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee areas. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. How would you like to have oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge for your new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, now you can, but only at Stan McNabb. You heard right. No more oil changes to pay for, no more tires to buy. And you can't find a deal like that anywhere. Today we have Mr. Larry Stewart on, and as everyone knows, he's done just about everything that you can do around here. He's been into sports. He's been into teaching. He was principal out at Las Casas. And I guess there's some other things that we probably don't know of that he's been in, but we won't tackle that today. And there's one person that asked me a question the other day, Larry, and that was, are you the only coach at Las Casas that had an undefeated team?
That's correct. I had a perfect record. That's what we say. Not undefeated. I had a perfect record. The last year I coached, I was coaching principal too. Uh-huh. And my boys were 0-22. And I made an administrative decision, and I fired myself as basketball coach and hired T.L. Hopkins. And I tell everybody that I'm the only coach ever to get fired at Las Casas for not winning, and I fired myself.
Well, did you think you were fair with yourself?
Yes, I did. I thought Principal Stewart looked back and said, you got to do something about this idiot coach you got. And then so Principal Stewart fired Coach Stewart. And I thought that was the best administrative decision I ever made.
Now, you didn't buckle down under public pressure from the Las Casas community, did you,
no,
when you made that decision?
No, because I was sort of like some other coaches. When I'd lose a game, I'd say we're building character.
Uh-huh.
And we built a lot of character in 1967.
I noticed your character was building up during that particular year.
That's right. And I tell everybody, that year I coached four basketball teams, was the principal. The math teacher had quit, and we couldn't find one or didn't look for one. So I taught two algebra classes, and I never had but one math class in college in my life. Mm-hmm. And I made about $5,000 that year, and a lot of people said, well, old Stewart's overpaid. And I probably was.
Well, bless your heart. You know, in Las Casas, they had some really good talent from time to time, but it seemed like by the time they got to high school level, they would drift over toward Kittrell. Is that true? Seemed like that?
No. The only one that did that was Monk.
Oh, well, that was enough.
Yeah, that was enough. Monk lived right across from the school until he got big enough to play, and then his mama moved to Kittrell. But Fuzz Neville, the janitor that at Las Casas, and who everybody just loved to death. He was like a daddy to everybody at Las Casas, including me and Buddy Brown. Fuzz finally just gave him a key to the gym because he got tired of fixing the broken window every Monday morning. And so he just gave Monk a key to the gym, and Monk was in that gym every day and every night, and then he got big enough to play, and he moved to Kittrell.
You know, Las Casas is famous for having a number of characters there. And characters, I mean people that just really stand out.
Right.
And of course, I guess the first place you would notice would be at Brown's store. And that goes back even before Buddy was there. His dad ran the store.
Oh, yeah.
But I know that you spent a lot of time over there. Were there any particular ones that stood out to you that maybe, I'm not going to say more interesting, but maybe there was maybe more to tell on them?
Well, of course, the first one that comes to mind would be Ben Brown.
Right.
He was he knew everything that was going on in the community, and he could get more things done probably than anybody.
He sure could.
And matter of fact, he was the one man I went to see when I was trying to get the job at Las Casas first. That's who Clifton Tucker told me to go to
first. Always go to the top.
Right. And then he told me how to get to where I needed to go. But anyway, Ben Brown would be the first one. Great guy. I always had a story to tell, and Miss Peggy, too. They were both in the store all the time. And, of course, then there was Buddy, and then I mentioned Fuzz Neville. He was always around the store and around the school down there. And Mr. Bob Wynn that run the bar.
Well, he was really the mayor of, I'm not saying Las Casas, probably Las Casas and Milton together.
He was self-proclaimed mayor. And if he liked you, he'd give you a good haircut. If he didn't, you'd have to go somewhere else. But him and Fuzz and Mr. Edwin Ayers was from out there, and he was always around the store. They were all good friends. And back then, there was a thing, a little gambling device, that you pick up a Coke bottle and you see who the where it was bottled on the bottom and who was the furthest away.
Mm-hmm.
And so Fuzz and Mr. Wynn was always ready to do that, and they were pretty hard to beat. I don't know how they could get out New Braunfels, Texas every time when I'd get out to Cookeville, Tennessee, but they must have known something. But those characters were always around. And then the later on there came Mr. Bob's son, Bobby, James Robert Ward, who was a great guy for the Las Casas on the county commission back when they were squires.
Right.
I was always around. Mr. R.A. Kelton was around. I know I'm forgetting a lot of people. Leffel Brown, probably one of the smartest men I've ever sat and talked to. And, you know, he had some good ideas about everything. It just seemed that nobody wanted to listen to him.
You know, a lot of times I would see him come up to the county commission and the courthouse, and he had to have a ton of papers underneath his arm, and he was wanting to talk to just about anybody he ran into to show some of his ideas. And you're right, he was a very bright man.
Oh, yes,
he was a terrible driver, but he was a very bright man.
Yes, and he had some great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he would come down to school and he'd say, "Let me bounce this idea off of you." And I'd say, "Leffel, that's a good idea. Why don't you let me tell somebody about that?" No, I'm going to tell them. Well, then I knew right then it wasn't going anywhere. But why people didn't listen to him, he was brilliant. And but he was always around Brown's store. You know, the farmers hung out up there. But that was the place. And, yes, I spent a lot of time up there. Most of it was early in the morning. Sometimes I would, you know, have business up there during school hours, you know, school business. But I spent a lot of time at Brown's store. Buddy Brown and I go back. I mean, we're the same age, and we go back a long way.
Actually, when you went into Brown's store, you went in, it was a treat because whatever they fixed you, it really didn't matter where it was, bologna sandwiches or whatever was on the menu for that day. It wasn't one of these things that we would consider a delicacy. But we went in for the entertainment, and the entertainment was each one of those individuals. They had so many jokes and stories to tell, and they all had something on each other. And one of the things you mentioned, the barbershop a minute ago, the barbershop had a lot of stories to tell, too, because there were, from what I can understand, there were a number of individuals who weren't familiar with that barbershop that would come in to get a haircut, and it wasn't exactly the barber that would give them the haircut.
That's right. I never did get a haircut there. I always felt like I was too young to go in that barbershop, but I thought a lot of Mr. Bob Wynn. And, but, you know, things went on at the barbershop that, you know, I'm sure didn't go on at Ideal and some other places, but it was just part of that community. Hudson store there, Kelton Brothers store, and then the Piercy store. It was, you know, that's just part of it, a place to stop and get a cold drink and see everybody and, you know, get you a pack of nabs if you wanted them, pack of peanuts or something. And it was just, you know, you just couldn't hardly go. Back then, you had to go through town.
Mm-hmm.
That was before the bypass came through, you know, and you just couldn't hardly go through town without stopping and buying a cold drink or, you know, whatever.
Well, you think about all the people that have been in this community that have really made their way, like the Lowrys. I mean, you're talking about one of the best bankers we've ever had around here, and his son Ed did the same thing and did a tremendous job. And, of course, David ended up being an attorney, and now He's been judged for a pretty good while now.
Right.
And it's amazing how it's just a continuous flow over there. It must be the ground is rich or something. But then Buddy and Linda had Mo. And it just seemed like that, you know, you can't, the cream doesn't always rise to the top.
Well, now that's your opinion. Now, you're not going to get me to
say... Are you going to get afraid
of
me now?
You're not going to get me to say anything bad about Mo Brown, because next to my daughter, she may be one of my all-time favorite students that I ever had. And I was thinking on the way in
Now,
about,
when you're saying favorite students, are we talking about personality favorite students, or are we talking about academic favorite students?
All-around good student, you know, being where she's supposed to be all the time, having her... lessons in order, and you know, and just being an all around, you know, good person.
Yeah,
that's what I, when I think of Mo Brown, that's what I think of.
Can you, I think of Mo Brown and I think of her growing up in that store, just a little bitty young girl, and then everybody picking on her from the time that she could walk until now. I don't know how she's maintained.
Well, I'm sure she's warped from that, and you know, and Ernie too, but
yeah,
Mo overcame it. And, you know, a lot of people don't know, but Mo Brown was a pretty tough nut on the basketball court, too. She was pretty,
I didn't know Mo played.
Yes, she did, and she was pretty tough. I mean, didn't anybody, I mean, she didn't always guard them right, but she managed to get the job done. She was, I mean, she wasn't no little sissy when it came to playing sports.
She's not a sissy, period.
She was pretty tough nut.
Who's the best basketball player that you ever saw that came out of last cast? But now let's don't talk about Jimmy, because everybody knows about Jimmy Montgomery.
Oh, boy or girl?
Both.
I would guess that the ones that I saw, Patricia Strong was probably the best girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say all around, Carl McKnight was probably the best boy. Player, and we had some good ones. We had Linda Martin the first year. We didn't have a high school. Linda Martin played in 6-on-6. She went on to Oakland and made all whatever, mid-state or whatever it is, and, you know, led the first year they had Oakland High School, and they also classified that year. We would have been single A had we had kept our high school one more year. I feel like we had a good chance of winning the state, because Oakland's four of their starters were from Las Casas, and one of them would have been starter, but she decided not to play.
Hmm.
And so we would have been pretty good in single A.
You know, Las Casas is one of those areas that it really wasn't densely populated. It was probably one of the least populated of all the areas. We're talking about Las Casas and Milton.
Yeah, I would say in the high school days now, we probably had the smallest high school in the county, us or Rockvale maybe. But the kids, close. You know, the kids came from households where most of the time there was a mother and a daddy. And one parent was always at home. And they rode the school bus every day. And we practiced after school, and somebody had to pick them up because, you know, they didn't have a driver's license. If they did, they didn't have a car because daddy was usually going to work. But they made arrangements so their kids could participate and, you know, and represent the school, and I thought we did a pretty good job, at least from 64 to 72 that I was there with the high school.
I know that Las Casas was always one of those schools. It was almost like, in a way, related like a magnet school is, that everybody wanted to go to Las Casas, and I think that it was almost one of these schools that you would consider trouble-free. The teachers did a great job, and maybe even the classrooms were smaller. I don't know what it was, but I know a lot of it was you, because you always took an interest in the kids, and you went above and beyond. And I know that my Aunt Nancy McNabb has said before and told me, I don't know how many times, how much you did for the kids and the students, even after they left your school and went on into the high school level.
Well, I felt like they were my kids, and I felt like that was my job, Truman.
Right.
I mean, my job didn't end at 3 o'clock. If we had a basketball game, you know, at Irvin College, I was there. I think in the 36 years I was at Las Casas, I missed two basketball games. One of them was when my grandmother died. Mm-hmm. And the other one was when my son was playing freshman ball at Oakland. And I went to Smyrna, I think, to see him play. And that's the only two games I missed. But I felt like that was my job. If anything happened at a ball game, I didn't want somebody to call me the next morning and tell me about it. I wanted to be there and see it for myself. And I really enjoyed going and watching our kids participate. And I was just, they were my kids.
Mm-hmm. You never really lived in Las Casas.
No, couldn't afford it.
You've always lived over off the Woodbury Highway,
right,
and down in my own home country.
Right.
But yet, I guarantee you, if you were to run for, if there was such a thing as mayor of Las Casas in Milton, you would win hands down because of the respect everyone has for you, and that comes from the way that you treated their kids, their grandkids, and it goes on back. And I never will forget when they gave you your retirement going away party. It was one of the most fun things that I've seen in a long time. But I know you got to miss that.
I do. I miss the kids every day.
Yeah.
I miss the parents every day. Now, every day when I pick up the paper and read what's going on in education, I get over it real quick. But I really enjoyed being around the kids, you know. And it got to where you had to go to so many meetings that you didn't have time to spend at school. And I didn't like that. And I didn't go to a lot of them. But I felt like that's where I needed to be.
Do you think that's contrary to what education is supposed to be, the way they're trying to do now? A lot of times, you know, what's the old saying? If it ain't broke, don't try to fix
yes,
it.
Yes, I think that's one of the big problems. We've got people trying to run education that's never been in the classroom or hadn't been in a long time. A good example is this new evaluation process that the State Department's come down with, where the principal has to evaluate every teacher every year. And it takes four observations to make one evaluation, and there's just no way. So they're hiring outside people. Now, we're lucky enough, we've had some teachers to retire, and they're going to be part-time evaluators, which is really going to help Rutherford County.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to have somebody come into your classroom that does not have a clue what kind of kids you got, and just face it, every kid can't be born on East Main Street, Truman.
No.
And you know, we had kids even back when I retired that came to school that lived in a house didn't have running water in it. But those kids can learn. I did. And if I'd have been told how misfortunate I was the way I was raised, I probably grew up not knowing how to read either. But nobody told me. They just told me that I had as much right to learn as the kid next to me, and so, you know, and my mom and daddy reinforced that, and so I learned. Now, I could have got a whole lot more education than I got, but I got all I wanted. And I was thinking on the way in, I knew you were going to ask me about some of my students, and the first one that comes to mind is a little, her daddy was in the service in Vietnam and married a Laotian lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she was probably one of the sweetest kids next to Mo Brown that I ever had. And she was smart, but her daddy didn't have a lot of resources. She wanted to go to school at William and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Her daddy didn't have the resources, and he said, well, what you do is you go to MTSU, and you learn all that teacher's got to teach, and then you go to the library and you learn some more. And that's what she did, and now she's in working for the Laotian government. She's interpreting law.
Wow.
And now she went to school at Las Casas. And you know, I never wanted anybody to look down on the kids at Las Casas because they went to a county school. I had somebody tell me one time I was wanting to teach eighth graders algebra because Butch Vaughn was teaching at Central, mm-hmm. and the kids would come back from Oakland and say, Mr. Stewart, the kids in my class went to Central have already had algebra. I said, no, they worked in the algebra book 6 weeks. Well, I found out they were. And I had somebody, and I had already talked to Bob Gardner, who was my math teacher, and one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now, Bobby, I want to teach algebra in eighth grade just so they'll be better algebra students when they get to Oakland. And now they can take a test and get credit, but I don't care about that. And so I go down to Central Office, and I had somebody down there tell me they didn't think our students were capable of taking algebra, just the ones at Central were.
You're kidding.
Well, I don't have to tell you how I reacted to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back, and I told Bobby, I said, the rules have changed. We're going to teach algebra, and we're going to have more to pass that test than anybody in the county, or you're fired. It's just that simple, big boy. And that year we had the first kid to ever make a perfect score on that algebra test, and that's equivalent to making a perfect score on the ACT test. And so I went back to that person. I said, "Do you not think now that we're capable of teaching algebra to our eighth graders?" She says, "Yeah, I think you are." And then they started coming up with rules where we didn't have enough to qualify. And so Bob Gardner said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Well, we're just not going to play by their rules. Me and you will decide who takes algebra out here," mm-hmm. because we should know, if anybody. And we were real, our kids were real successful at Oakland because of that. And, you know, and I had guts enough to tell some mamas, "Now, your kid's not capable of taking algebra, so she's going to take something else." Mamas don't want to hear that, but sometimes they have to hear it. You know, I thought my kids were the smartest in the world. My wife knew they were, but I just thought they were. But you have to bite the bullet sometime. And you know, I used to tell the new principals, I'd say, "You can do anything you got guts enough to do." Now, you know, you pick the fights. You know, sometimes you fight the bear and the bear wins. But you know, if you think you can't win, then you're stupid to fight that battle. You know, pick your battles, and then, you know, do what's best for your kids, and you'll be okay.
Why do you think that attitude rang so much? I mean, it probably runs everywhere, but in this county, where they think if you're not going to a city school, then you're not going to get a proper education, even though that the rapport between the teachers and the principals, it just runs so smooth in the caring process. And that's one of the things it seems like is left out of all these things they're trying to do.
Yeah, I don't know why that's that way, Truman, but it is. And, you know, I was thinking, if you go over, you were talking about the Lowry boys, you mm-hmm. know, and Ronnie Knight was a pretty good
right.
banker in himself, you
right.
know, and he was
another Las Casas boy.
Matter of fact, he got two diplomas when he graduated. That's another story. But anyway, you know, if you go over, and I'm thinking about having a little tightening up surgery done on the hernia, you know, mm-hmm. more than likely Michael Kelton's going to do it. You know, he's a Las Casas graduate. Mm-hmm. His grandmama graduated there. His daddy graduated there. He graduated there. And, you know, you can, like I said, you can get as much education as you want. And, we had some, if your wife goes over to have a baby, more than likely Miss Dana DeMint Jones might deliver it, a Las Casas person, you know, and she got.
I remember when she went to med school.
She got all that from her mother's side of the family.
Had to.
Yeah. Okay. We won't go any further. There's another character.
Kelly.
Kelly DeMint is another character that hung around Brown's store.
Well, you know, go back to what we were talking about on the what the state and the federal government are trying to do to teach. And right now it seems like we're having more problems through the state than we are the federal government. And why in the world aren't – where is the voice of the teachers? Where is the voice of the people in education? It seems like that it seems to be lost, and nobody seems to be listening, and there's nothing more vital to this community and this nation than that process.
That's right. And you know why? I mean, if you're going to go and ask somebody about what's wrong with your car, mm-hmm. more than likely you're going to ask a mechanic
yeah.
and not a minister mm-hmm. or something like that. Now, if you want to know what's wrong with school, why not ask a teacher? I tell you, of course, some retired people, principals, and I talk all the time. And one thing, I don't think the schools are as bad as they're made out to be, because I used to say, if you want to prove yourself incompetent, then you teach one thing and then give a test on something else, and you'll be incompetent. There's no doubt about it. Now, what we do now is we come up with somebody that makes an achievement test, and it's supposed to be geared to all people. Well, the kids in Rutherford County are not like the kids in Atlanta, Georgia, or Sacramento, California. And every social problem that comes down the pike, it's up to the schools to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 70s, we had kids that were coming to school and hadn't had all their shots.
Mm-hmm.
They said the school's going to have to take care of this, make sure they got them. Well, that's something that don't show up on the achievement test.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, and if he's got head lice, you check that.
I remember
too.
That, too.
You check that. Mm-hmm. And then you make sure that they get plenty to eat. You know, you feed them breakfast and you feed them lunch. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of this, But it's just things that teachers have to do that don't show up on the achievement test. We're doing one thing and then testing something else. And then we'll say, if you get through solving all these social problems, try to teach them a little math and a little reading, you know. And then we're going to give you an achievement test, and we're going to give it now when school has been going on about 7 months. And we're not going to wait till you've been 9. So you got to cram all this in 7 months. Well, teachers don't want to have nothing to do for the last 2 months. Now, back, and I'm always supporting the teachers. Always will. But there are things teachers can do that some of them don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Every objective of every test, you can get them. It's in the handbook, comes from the State Department. Well, the teachers need to get those objectives and make sure they're covering what's on the test. And if they don't do that, then, once again, they're proving themselves incompetent.
Can you imagine all the things that the teacher's doing are having to do in the school and all that? Can you imagine if this group that's looking into changing education to say, well, you know, maybe we need to have people who are just experts on each one of these things,
yeah,
and put them in the schools,
uh-huh,
and then pretty soon you've got a bureaucratic system that's completely just way out there in another
right
world.
And we haven't even talked about all the fundraising teachers have to do and kids have to do.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I want to let you know we had Ms. Melissa Warren in here last week, and it was such a pleasure to meet her. And what she has done for the community, she started a business called At Home Care, and what they do is they come in and take care of people who are have gotten older, having special problems at home, can't take care of the normal routine. And they go in and make sure that their quality of life stays at a high level, and they can still do it at home. And what they do is they run errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, and medication reminders, plus many, many other things. And they do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Melissa Warren, I was so impressed with her when she came in last week, because she truly cares what's going on with people who are having these specific problems. And you can reach Melissa at 713-4639 or check out her website at www.athomecaretennessee.com. And their business is at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, like in Henry, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And if you're thinking about doing something for a loved one or just for yourself, give them a call, and Melissa will be glad to take care of you.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
You wouldn't let a plumber fix your roof,
so let a mechanic change your oil.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care.
WGNS listeners get a standard oil change and full service for only $24.95.
Oil changing?
$24.95.
Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad across from Discovery Center.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Well, here it is, Monday, July the 25th, time for Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank. The Red Cross is having a blood drive today, 10 this morning until 6 tonight. You know, the Red Cross is critically low on blood, so please give the gift of life today. That's going on right now until 6 o'clock tonight. The Red Cross is at a new location, and that's at 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce location. That blood drive going on until 6 o'clock tonight. On these hot days, be sure and check on your senior citizen friends and loved ones, or anyone who's alone and ill. And fans and air conditioners do save lives. And if you need a fan or an air conditioner, call Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program. His number is 818-2459. And if you'd like to donate money to purchase a fan or an air conditioner for a needy person, make a check out to the Cool Aid Program and take it by First Bank on Memorial, right there at Ridgely Road. By the way, Dwight Ogleton's phone number, once again, if you need help, is 818-2459. And Murfreesboro Blue Raider youth football and cheerleading registrations going on today, tomorrow, and Thursday. It's from 6 until 8 in the evening, and that's over at McKnight Field, next to Sportscom. This is open for ages 5 to 12, and space is limited, though, so if you have any questions, call 346-2822. Best advice, go by tonight, 6 until 8, over at McKnight Field, and sign up your youngster. And the free Movies Under the Stars is at 8:30 tonight at the Kaysen Lane Trailhead. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Occasional sunshine this afternoon with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, high in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Areas of fog possible, low of 73. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 91.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
With today's guest, Larry Stewart.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you?
And I was over there Saturday morning, Larry, had a great time. And it's amazing what a great job that Tom Brady did on that meal, because it looks like it did 200 years ago. It's in absolutely perfect condition. They have some of the best food that you can eat there. And still right along the old Stones River. And actually, it's supposed to be Stone River, but they changed it to Stones River for whatever reason, I don't know. But if you want to get away from today's hustle and bustle and get out there and just really have a good time, listen to the good music from John Blankenship and friends. And I think I'm going to have Avon and John on later on this week. And, you know, something amazing me. We were talking about Las Casas and Kittrell. Now, you look over at Las Casas, their meal is gone. Yeah. Brown's meal is gone. Yeah. And I remember when it fell in. And now you still got the one at Kittrell, which it stands tall. But I never will forget, you knew Matthew Royal real well.
Oh, yes.
He and I went over to the old Brown's meal when they were still trying to save it.
Yeah.
And the architect was over there, and he showed Matthew and I through there, and never will forget it, because I looked through, and it's what an amazing structure. And he was telling how he's going to be able to do it, but it's going to had to be done pretty quick, because he could tell that it was really wasn't going to last long. Well, he was right.
Yeah.
And Matthew and I were underneath that building, and not long before it fell down.
I wouldn't want to have been there. Now, Mr. Keel McElroy ran that forever.
Right.
And you know, and then Dan McMurray tried to, you know, keep it going, and it was just an impossible task. But the meal at Reedaville, you said Kittrell, but it's at Reedaville.
That's right. Did I say Kittrell?
Yes, you did.
Well, they're both the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
Milton, Las Casas.
Yeah, I live in Kittrell, get my mail at Reedaville. So, you know, you one six, one half dozen.
Yeah, you're right down. You're really not too far living on. I'm not going to tell them where you live.
I get my yard rolled, you know. But I've been up to the mill a few times, and it's a great place. Mm-hmm. I went up to the late John here, down one of the greatest guys to ever work with Rutherford County.
Yeah.
His 90th birthday party. And then I know a guy's son's getting married, and they're going to have the rehearsal dinner or whatever it is there. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place.
Well, actually, where you live is close to where my family had an old farm many, many years ago. We're going back passed to my granddad and them. And in fact, they still have a cemetery over there. And I don't think I've ever been to it. I've been by it, but I have never been to that cemetery. In fact, I didn't even know it existed until one of my aunts told me.
Well, somebody's supposed to be keeping it up. I hope they are.
Well, I'm sure they are. But, of course, we had Miss Mary Hall, who lived right down from you, and very strong. And we're talking about the county school system. I mean, you look at the people who were the ones, what we called them, the movers and the shakers, and the ones that meant so much to the community. I mean, they were right there in the county communities.
Right. Joe Cates
yes.
probably did more for the Kittrell community, you know, than anybody.
He did.
Mr. Rob Taylor at Las Casas and his son, Robert Jr., mm-hmm. James Robert Ward, Stan Balt, they just go on and on and on. And people were interested in their community.
And look how many of them stayed in the education system. I mean, you can go, I bet a number of yours went into teaching because of the influence in the way that they felt like that they could influence others by the direction that they got from you.
Yeah. I had one, I won't mention any names, and she graduated in 1967. The first year I gave diplomas, and I told her, I said, you go to college, get a degree, and I'll hire you one of these days. Well, she went and graduated in 3 years and called me and said, I'm ready for that job. And I said, well, I don't have anything right now. So she goes to Old Rockville High School and taught third grade out there. And then she started having a family. So she quit, got ready to go back. She called me and said, I'm ready for that job you promised me in 67. I said, I don't have anything right now. So she went to Buckhannon with Harris Hooper. Mm-hmm. And I had a job come up, and I called her, and I said, do you remember that job I promised you in 67? She said, I do. I said, I got it. She said, I'm on my way. And she was still there when I retired. She's now retired. But she was, and then her daughter started teaching there. And, you know, it's just, you know, if you can hire somebody from the community, you're better off.
I think we have a caller on the line for us, Larry.
I'm dreading this.
Oh, you got that. Oh, I thought your head always looked like that. You already got your headphones on.
Yeah.
Caller, go ahead.
Drummond.
Yes.
This is Joe Jernigan. I'm listening to you and Larry.
Hey, Joe, Frank,
how you doing, buddy?
One reason I was calling you, you were just talking about the graveyard over behind your granddaddy's old place.
Right.
Which I live on where my grandmother and granddaddy lived, farm, and my great-grandmother and granddaddy is buried in that graveyard right there, and I've got a brother buried in there, too.
Wow.
And it goes back to 1800s in there.
Where exactly is that, Joe Frank?
Sir?
Where exactly is that cemetery?
It's right straight in behind that white house. It ain't... right there where the barn is behind the White House, it's right to the left there.
Okay, yeah, okay. I know where it is, yeah.
Now, as you come off the Woodbury Highway, it's not very far, is it?
No,
the old Woodbury Highway.
In fact, I was about, I guess, 8 or 9 years old when your granddaddy broke his hip. They was hauling hay back in there, my granddaddy and them, on the wagon when he fell off in that creek.
Well, I tell you what, that work was hard back then.
Yeah.
We know that, don't we, Joe Frank? Having to work for Alvin Wilson, that'd make a man appreciate the public job, won't it?
Hey, most of them don't know where the work is.
That's right. That's right, buddy. Great guy. Joe Frank, we appreciate the job you do in the Kittrell community on the county commission, buddy.
Yeah, we sure do. And also Buckhannon.
Yeah.
I just going to call in and tell you about the graveyard, because I heard you saying something about it. And the other day when you had talking about the Civil War on there, right there behind where the creek is on my place, the south was camped right over there on old Hughes' place. The north come from Readable going to Sprite attacked on them. They whipped them, run them back to Readable. That's in the history books, sir.
I can't believe they
made
through Readable.
I have people come up there all the time on a hunt for stuff, Civil War. They pinpointed to me, showed me exactly where it was. And they have found stuff there.
Oh, I bet they have.
All right, enjoy talking to you.
Appreciate you calling,
Joe
Frank.
Thank you, Joe Frank.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, he does a great job on the county commission. That's a tough job in this day and time. And I appreciate him calling and letting me know some of that, and so we could pinpoint that. And, you know, it's a shame that we have lost so much of our heritage over the years because we get so busy and we don't take time. And that's one thing that Greg Tucker and some of the others have done for this community is they've actually brought a lot of those things back to our minds that should have never left to start with.
That's right. Greg Tucker is, I mean, I don't know where he gets all his information, but man, those articles he writes, and the day you had him on your show, mm-hmm. I couldn't leave the radio for listening to him. And John Hood, you know, but I wonder, Truman, when we're gone, is the next generation going to keep up with this stuff, you know, like we did? I'm afraid they're not.
I can't imagine them not doing it. Of course, you know, as old as this community is, there's always been people here that wanted to capture the past and make sure it stays real within us, because without the past, we can't have a future.
That's right.
Because you learn from experience, and you see how all of the successes and the failures have gone before you. And just like you've been in the education system, I mean, that's one of the things that you build on.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the education has got to get better. And I'm not saying it's bad now, because I don't think it is, but it's got to get better, because, you know, what we learned in school is just a drop in the bucket of what kids are going to have to know, you know, when our grandkids get out of school. And it's scary, really. It's scary.
Well, I think of the as successful as the school system has been over the years, and we go back and into the 1800s all the way when we're talking about the school system. And from what I have been reading and trying to keep up with and talking to many of the experts, and I'm talking about the people in the education community, I'm awful afraid that what we're heading toward right now is almost a disastrous situation in education, because, first of all, you cannot give our students a proper education unless you have the teachers and the principals there that want to be there.
Right.
And what I've seen is I've actually heard principals and I've heard teachers say that they have told people that want to get into education, maybe that's not what you really want to do. Because if you want to go in there to start making a difference in a child's life, basically what you're going to be doing is more robotical than education.
A lot of it's managing behavior. And that shouldn't be that way. I tried. All I wanted my teachers to do was teach. Mm-hmm. Now, I could not ever accomplish that, but, you know, they didn't have to keep attendance. Me and my secretary and Miss Sarah Turner taught first grade. We kept the old registers. Now, that was a real pain. Hmm. This is before computers. They didn't have to do that. And, you know, they have to, of course, nowadays, you know, you've got to take up lunch money and, you know, everything. And then it's just things that have to be done that don't have anything to do with education. And that's where we're missing the boat.
Think about longevity. How many principals have been at Las Casas School over the years?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
There haven't been very many.
No. I know I can go back. I had all the pictures from 1928 of the graduating classes, mm-hmm. you know, and I cherish those. When we moved over to the new school, we had a homecoming, and we had just waxed the floor, and I told the janitors, I said, Monday y'all have to wax this floor. And they said, we just did it. I said, you'll have to do it again, because people are going to be standing right here looking at these pictures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mr. Hitt was there. The guy that was a veterinarian here, his daddy taught agriculture. Then they stuck him with a principal's job. Jarman. And anyway, there hadn't been many. Of course, I came in kind of behind James Faulkner.
Mm-hmm.
I took his place as basketball coach, but I didn't take his place as principal. Mm-hmm. But 2 years later, I did. And he was a great guy, and he had everything going to where you didn't need to change anything, and if you did, you was making a mistake. And Mr. M.B. Brandon was there for years. And of course, then when I left, Lindell took over, and I've been retired 12 years, and I don't think Lindell has ever wanted to go anywhere else, and I don't know why he would. It's the best job in Rutherford County. And look at the principals that are retiring right now. Bud Rakes, Jim Christman, and Daniel McKee. My gosh, what a job he's done out
tough
there.
Job.
Yes,
tough job.
Yes, sir. Miss Rhonda Holton at Eagleville.
Right.
The lady down at the junior high down there at the middle school at Smyrna. It's just so much. This evaluation process is just so much that people can't handle it. And you don't want outsiders coming in and telling your teachers how to teach. But that's what it's coming to, and it shouldn't be that way now. We had career ladder coming here under Lamar Alexander. It was the best thing that ever happened to education. Now, teachers on level one, which was the lowest, all you had to do was go and take classes, 40 hours, to learn how to be a better teacher, and you do that, and we'll give you $1,000 a year for the rest of your life. Well, we should have done it for nothing.
Right.
When my bunch went, we had Sue Parsley, Butch Campbell, Carl Buckner's daughter, and Danny Hutton, and we had a good time, and we learned how to be better teachers, and they paid us $1,000 a year for the rest of our tenure. And why would anybody be against something like that? But some of them were. But I guess it's because they were jealous because some people were making $9,000 because they went through the evaluation and all that stuff, But it was the greatest thing that ever happened to education. And now, if you got it, you can keep it. But if you don't have it, you're not going to get it. And
was that kind of a split in the ranks of the teachers?
I think it was, and I don't know why it was. And I had a lot of, some teachers said, I'm not going for that. And I'd say, it makes your principal job a lot easier. If you're on level one, they only have to evaluate you twice every 10 years. If you're not, they have to evaluate you twice every 3 years. Make it easier. I never thought about that. And plus, we'll give you $1,000 a year. And, back in the 70s, that was big money.
Now, they still, continuing education
right.
programs, you're still rewarded for that.
I mean,
if you up your degree to a master's, PhD,
yes.
whatever. So the teachers are pretty much continually in the classroom, both with the kids and for themselves.
They are. And, it's really the salary schedule is really not all that great until you get your master's and above. And so, why not? Why not get it? And, it was when I got my 30 hours above my master's, it was a lifestyle change for me and my wife. I mean, it's just, just like, falling from the sky every month.
So the teachers and the principals are all in there trying to self-improve themselves. But one of the things that I will go back to a minute ago, we were talking about the principals that maybe for example, some of the other county schools that had principals, long-term principals, and the success rate there was extremely high because they knew all of the kids, they knew all of the parents, and they stayed there for years because, yes. That was basically their community. Each teacher and each principal was their school.
Right.
That's basically what it was, and everything fed from there.
Yeah, I'm not bragging. Mr. J.J. Mike Williams told me one time, said when a school gets too big, that the principal don't know every kid by name is too big. And I knew every kid in my school because it was easy for me because I had most of them's mamas and daddies. I knew where they all lived because if a bus driver was sick, I drove the bus. Mm-hmm. And the kids tended to behave a little bit better when I was driving the bus than did for substitute bus driver. But, I thought, once again, that was part of my job. I needed to know the kids. And because you don't treat every kid the same.
Right.
You treat them all equally, but you don't treat them the same. You can't. If you've got two kids of your own, you can't treat them the same. They're different. And, you got to be fair. And kids don't learn at the same pace. And so why should we think that we can give these kids achievement test and expect them all to do the same. And once and again, we've got kids going to school just wanting out of high school to get a job. We need to teach those kids how to make a living. We need to teach them a skill. I mean, they don't need to take advanced algebra if they're going to, you know, be a carpenter. You know, they don't need it. But still, we got people down in the State Department that says you got to take this, this, this before you can graduate from high school. And we don't care what your mental ability is. This is what you got to take. And I just don't see the point.
And what you're saying about the large schools, did we make a mistake when we started going to the major schools as far as population? We're talking about high schools primarily now. The high schools are communities in themselves. They're, right. They're almost small cities.
I think for some kids we did, and for some kids we didn't. Now, a lot of kids get more. There's more stuff offered at the big schools.
Right.
But now I look back at kids that graduated at Old Las Casas High School that probably never would have graduated at a big comprehensive high school. They're out making a living, paying their taxes, productive citizens. And, you know, if it hadn't been for Las Casas School, they might have been in the penitentiary by now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, if you hadn't have bit me over that desk when you did and straightened me out, I might have wound up in the penitentiary. And I appreciate it. Well, you know, once again, I thought that was part of my job, you know, to make them better citizens. And that don't show up on any achievement test I've ever seen.
Well, I know one thing with the school resource officers. I mean, you have to watch the larger schools because the pecking order changes,
right.
The tougher kids start taking over, and it starts causing a lot of problems. And I've always thought, you know, I've always heard what you just said, that the big schools offer more. But isn't there a way to offer more without getting into that type of situation where it's so hard to control?
And we did at Las Casas. And one way we offered more is one year I had an advanced math class that had two students in it. Those kids needed to. But now because that teacher taught those two students, I had to teach some. And I wasn't above teaching as a principal. You know, if one year I taught general business to a bunch of girls.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned how to write checks and pay bills and stuff, and we had a good time. And but Linda Murphy was teaching shorthand and bookkeeping, mm-hmm. and I couldn't teach that, but I said, I teach this general business. And
but it's not all academic. A lot of it
right.
is sports and things like that.
I think a lot of it is for sports.
Yeah.
And I when I was at Las Casas, I fought the middle school. I said, I want these kids to stay right here
mm-hmm.
where I can watch them. I can make sure they're getting what they want to. And I think a lot of it was pushed because of football. With the superintendent we had wanted feeder schools for football. And, you know, and now the middle schools, they're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that are going love it. And, you know, good for them. But I felt like I wanted my Las Casas kids to stay with me as long as I could keep them.
Yeah, you're just like a big old...
Just like
I started to say mother hen, but it's probably an old rooster,
I guess. I'm just like an old setting hen, you know. Just give me a bunch of little bitties, and I'll take care of it.
We'll take a quick break and be right back with you.
You know,
this is Truman Jones. Let me take just a minute to tell you about my friends down the road in Shebaville at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, Pirtle and Howerton is the place to go. Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC. You can find anything you need at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive in Shebaville. They take pride in the vehicles they sell and strive to succeed in great customer experience and satisfaction. Whether you're looking for a new or used, their friendly and knowledgeable staff are eager to assist you in your car buying process. You can check out their extensive inventory at PearlHowerton.com.
That's Pearl and Howerton Automotive, 2006 North Main in Shelbyville. Don't let a 20-minute drive cost you thousands of dollars. Go by, see them today, or give them a call, 1-800-264-6800, or online at PearlHowerton.com.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Hi, this is Chuck Lewis with First Bank in Murfreesboro.
And Jim Bryan of First Bank in Smyrna.
Did you know that Social Security and other federal benefits are moving to a paperless system?
If you're currently receiving a paper check from the government and want to know more about how you can make the transition to direct deposit, stop by your local First Bank branch or call 890-1111 in Murfreesboro or 267-1111 in Smyrna.
That's 890-1111 or 267-1111. First Bank, member FDIC.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
Well, welcome back with us. Looked like we just about run out of time, Larry. And Brian is finally showing me a card saying wrap up the show. And I'm not ready to wrap up
the
show.
Either. Brian, you go do something else.
Yeah, we'll stay here another couple of hours. You know, that you are so interesting in you know, when you talk to Larry Stewart, you talk to Larry Stewart. It's nobody else. I mean, you got what you see. And, you know, I enjoy that. I wish everybody, and I've got a lot of friends in this community, I wish everybody was like you, Larry, because you care about the people. You care about especially the kids, and you follow them from the time that you were had them in school until you and I will be gone, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I really appreciate the way that you look at things, and you know, I wish we could get you to run for office, where maybe you could go in there and you'd be kind of like Mr. Smith goes to Washington. you can even start a filibuster.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like Larry Stewart going back to work too, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be awful?
Yeah, it would.
But you know, miss it. You really do.
I really do miss it. I mean, if I could still go to Las Casas every day and work with the kids and the teachers, I'd still be doing it. But they got where I couldn't do that. And, you know, my wife's in Kentucky. Her mother's sick, and I couldn't come on this show because she's afraid I'm always going to say something to embarrass her.
That's what she tells me.
Yeah, I know that's what she tells you.
She wants to know if there's a 5 or 10 second little.
Yeah, the delay.
And, yes.
Mo Brown said that she was not worried about me, but Whittle beat me to the draw.
You know, we need to get Mo. A bunch of us need to have a place to just go hang out and vent our frustrations and talk about, you know, how things are going or not going. She should open that store for us at least an hour a day where we can all go out there and fix us some free meals.
Yeah, fix us something to eat. Yeah. We can't work without eating.
Yeah. And you know, I've tried to get her on the show, and she just refuses. She says she's too shy and wouldn't have anything to say.
Let her come on set between me and you one day. We'll get that shyness out of her. If she's shy, I'd ever just see it when she was in school.
Well, she's shy when it comes to being on the air. I mean, she can blow a lot of hot air, but when it comes time to get in front of the microphone, she won't say anything. I guess Brian's over here fishing, so I guess we're going to have to leave.
He's just like a nervous goat over here.
I'm from Walter Hill, man.
That's
where we come.
Yeah, you only have, what, 3 principals or 4 principals? 4 now, right? 4 principals at Walter Hill.
There are 4 at Walter Hill, have been.
Joe Troop, Mr. McWilliams.
Now, he was the principal when my dad was there. Roger Brewington.
Mr. Brewington.
He was there when my brothers went.
Butch Campbell.
Yes.
Butch Campbell was there for a long time.
He was there when me and my brother Mickey were there.
Yeah. I still can't believe Butch retired because he's younger than we are.
Well, yeah, but Butch always got to have something to do. He's not like you. He can't sit around and do nothing.
He listens to our show.
I hope he does.
Yeah,
he learned something.
I'm surprised he didn't call today. All right, we will be back with you tomorrow. We're talking about Greg Tucker, and Greg will be with us. And I hope we're going to start talking a little bit tomorrow about people who were executed, hung, and we're talking about legal executions.
Well, that was
here
in the paper yesterday.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting article.
Yeah, it was, and I want to dig into that a little bit more. So we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.